for tapes of end-time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication. Voices from His Excellent Glory, declaring the kingdom. Write Post Office Box 516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71902. Thursday morning, July the 9th, 1992. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Donnie Morse is the speaker of the morning.
Praise the Lord. We greet you this morning. For every service we've been in has been rich and good. And kind of like the Apostle Peter, he said to the Lord on the Mountain of Transfiguration, he says, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Yeah. How do you feel that way? That it's good for us to be here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. It certainly has been real good. I need to probably just get started here. And I need to sort through some things in the book of Ephesians here. If you'll turn over here with us. That I feel to share with us this morning would take a lot of time, and so I must sort through and allow the Lord to speak to my heart to get us through some things this morning without getting bogged down in a lot of notes and research and I've spent a lot of time in this subject, a lot of time at the library, and I've taught weeks and months at home on this, and I've tried to hear from the Lord for the service this morning. There's a lot we can teach and preach, and we just don't want to preach just another message, do we? We want to feel like we have obeyed the Lord. And so in the book of Ephesians here, I'd like to maybe begin this morning from the fourth chapter and read this one scripture to us from verse 27. And Paul says here in this verse of scripture, and he addresses this to the church. Come on, church.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. This is directed to the church at Ephesus. And he says, neither give place to the devil. Amen. And I think if I move this down a little bit. Help me. And neither give place to the devil. Then he says in the sixth chapter of Ephesians, he says in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. How many here this morning feel like you're strong in the Lord?
Amen.
That's very important, amen, for you to take your stand in God in this hour and neither give place to the devil. That is, none of his avenues, none of his intents. Amen. One will have to be strong in the Lord in this hour. And he says here, and in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God. Amen. You see, these are things that the apostle is saying for us to do. Amen. There's some things that God will do, but there's some things that we must do. And we can't just wait on the Lord to do everything when we must prepare ourselves for the call of God. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. These are scriptures that the Apostle Paul addressed to the body of Christ. And we are to neither give place to the devil, and that we are to put on the whole armor of God, that we can withstand and stand against the forces of the evil one. And I'd like to perhaps go back into a thought that we was into just the other night. I'd title this the Lords of the Heathen. And if you'd run back to Isaiah 16, verse 8, I particularly want to share this with us. We are not to be ignorant of his devices, are we? And we know that Satan has transformed himself into an angel of light. Try the spirits and see whether they be of God. Hallelujah. There must be an inner perimeter of the Holy Ghost active in the life of the church. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. To build a hedge. Amen. By the anointing. Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. We don't need to let him in. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to read this scripture here. For the fields of Heshbon languish, and the vine of Sibmah, for the lords of the heathen have broken down the principal plants thereof. Now, if the Lord will help me get into this somewhat, I'd like to perhaps share with us along some of these lines. I've done a research. The Lord began to give me some things here, and I'm not a research preacher. I usually just preach and just go. But the Lord has shared some things with me, and I'd like to relate them along with us this morning before we leave. And I would just try to take the minimum time that I can to do this. it really did bother me when the Lord began to speak to my heart in some of these areas, and I saw the great unawareness and the easy going of the church in some of these situations and areas. I'd like to lay this out to us this morning, and when I begin to dig into this, I begin to find that Satan made an invasion back in the 60s. Now, this will be primarily to our country, okay? I'm not going to bring in a whole lot of things, but we live in America. And this thing that has happened in our country didn't happen yesterday. And the church today is facing a lamentation over our young people. There's a lamentation, amen, hallelujah, in the land today over this 42nd generation. Now, a generation can be looked at from different angles, as 100 years, if you want to. But from the day of Pentecost to now, we have been in the generation of the church age for almost 2,000 years. And you'll find that in the book of Matthew, there's only 41 generations mentioned. And the 42nd generation is the body of Christ. Amen. This 22nd Psalm says that a generation shall serve him, and a people shall serve him, and it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. Amen. If you study the chronology there, amen, you'll find that there's only 41 generations. Amen. And you'll find that Jesus Christ, amen, who is the seed and who is the son of Abraham and the son of David. And Galatians chapter 3 verse 18 says, amen, that the seed not being many, but one seed which is Christ Jesus. And we have received Christ Jesus, the incorruptible seed, the incorruptible word of God. Amen. How many know now ye are a chosen generation, you are a royal priesthood, you are a holy nation, you are a peculiar people, amen, and for 2,000 years almost, we have been in the 42nd generation of the Lord, amen, making up, amen, from the day of Pentecost, from the time the church age began until now, amen, God has been raising up this last generation. And I'm glad to be a part of this last generation. I'm just as much a part of it as any other generation. And I believe, as Jesus said, or the governor said to Jesus, at the marriage supper of Cana of Galilee, he said, "You saved the best for the last." I want you to know, amen, that we're in the last days. And there is a supernatural move of God, amen, that I believe that is beginning to advance. And I don't believe none of us has seen on the scale of comparison what we're going to see, amen, possibly within this year and the next several years, amen, we're in for a supernatural, sovereign move of God as never before. And it would do us good to prepare our hearts, amen, and begin to, I'll tell you, if we started this morning, we're almost starting too late to prepare ourselves for what God's fixing to do. Amen. But I'd like to share with us here and just give some brief scripture illustrations here of something. And first of all, the lords of the heathen, how many know Pharaoh and Herod, amen, is a lord and was a lord of the heathen. Amen. If you would turn with me to the book of Exodus, I'd like to just share along these lines here just for a few minutes. And in the book of Exodus, we find that, amen, we know that he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We know that Jacob had 12 sons. And we know that by the time Jacob got down into Egypt, amen, for 400 years, when they went in from 12, amen, 70 goes in. And God said to Jacob when the 70 went in, made their camp in Goshen, the Bible says that God spoke to Jacob and said, "In Egypt, there will I make of you a great nation." So we know that in 430 years later, amen, we find that in the Exodus, amen, we find that a nation will come out of Egypt. Amen. And I want you to know this thing got bigger than the lords of Egypt wanted it to get. Well, I want you to know it is the intent of Satan. Now hear me. It is the intent of the evil one, amen, to deprive us. He's done it through abortion. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know how far I can get into this. Amen. I don't know. I'm reluctant. I know what I do at home. Hallelujah. Amen. But it is, how many of the Bible says that children is the heritage of the Lord? I want you to know there is a Lord of the heathen. There is a Pharaoh and there is a Herod. There is a dominant force in the land today that is executing children. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, well, praise God. Hold your place in Exodus. Don't even let me get started there yet. Turn with me to the 127th Psalm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The 127th Psalm. I'll tell you, it's time that we beat him to death in this realm. It's time that we pulverize him. And it's time, amen, hallelujah, that the God of peace bruises him shortly under your feet. Yeah. Well, how many of you believe that? I'm talking about authority in God tonight.
Yeah.
This morning. I'm talking about, amen, that these signs shall follow them that believe. Hallelujah. We are to neither give him place. And we are to arm ourselves with the whole armor of God. I have never in my days, and I'm not talking about this group of people, but I have never in my days in ministry, pastoring, I've seen the body of Christ for the largest part. And I know there's a remnant. There's a remnant in every local church. There's a core that is in every move of God. Amen, of stability and a strength. But there is a great passiveness in so many other areas. And there's just too many in the body of Christ that that is unaware of what's going on. And it bothers me. It bothers me to see our children burnt to Moloch. It bothers me to see us take them by the nap of the head and the seat of the breeches and just throw them to the world. It bothers me. It bothers me to see that they have never had a chance. And Satan has moved in a cloud of darkness. Amen. And he hasn't. There's no one person, there's no group of people here this morning that can be blamed for what's happening today. Because the attack that he made in these areas that I'm talking about this morning, we'll talk about, he launched it over 32 years ago. And we are suffering from it as never before, and some people still doesn't care. And they confess to be born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and many of them even confess to be in the move of God, and they're not even interested, amen, and seeing him, amen, defeated in the origins of what he has set up in his kingdom. I'm telling you, he must come down. And somebody has got to hear and see and move in these areas, amen, and get our children and this generation out of the fire. Hallelujah. In the 127th Psalm, and we love verse 1. We've heard it quoted for years. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Verse 1 is a favorite scripture, but let's read verse 3 through 5. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. God bless my heart to see these pictures took of these children this morning.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. This blesses me to see that somebody has an interest.
Yes. Hallelujah.
I believe children is a heritage of the Lord.
Amen.
Well, I'll tell you, if I had time to get on into this, and I know I won't. Amen. But I sure do want to do what I can.
Amen.
And the fruit of the womb is his, or is God's reward. Hallelujah. Now I can say this by the commandment of the Lord. Amen. And leave me out of it. Hallelujah. But the fruit of the womb is God's reward. That's what the book says. Hallelujah. And now they line up in the hospital, have tubes tied. I'm not just talking about abortion.
Oh, hallelujah.
Men gets fixed. And you know why? You know why this is, can I tell you in the book, in the essence, why all of this has happened? It's because people no longer love children. Now, we can blame it on the economy. We can blame it on the cost of living. We can blame it on we don't want them, we don't want to have children to expose them to this society. Well, what society are we talking about? I'm talking about the blessed kingdom of God. Jesus described it and said to the man and woman had the little child, says, turn him loose and send him here. Pulled him up on his lap and said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God.
Hallelujah.
And he said, you become as a little child, ye shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven.
Hallelujah.
Now, let me go on record by, if I've offended anybody here already, let me back up and erase that offense. You're not blamed. I do not blame you, and I don't want no one to feel blamed this morning for anything that I've already said. Okay? How many understand there's a lot of things that we're not aware of, and that when we do become aware of, we feel condemned. But I, as I've already made the statement, how many remember me making the statement already in this service that no one person or no group of people is to blame here this morning or is held responsible. Have I done said that before? In the mouth of the gun, I've said it. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm establishing something. I want to show you something. So bear with me if I've said too much that I haven't validated with Scripture. Well, just please give me a few more minutes, okay?
Amen.
Believe me, I wouldn't go out on a limb without the Word of God. So just hold with me. How many see that the fruit of the womb is God's reward, and children is the heritage of the Lord? Then I read here, and he says, as the arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Woo! Did you hear what that scripture says? That the children of the youth are like an arrow in a mighty man's hand. Well, now, where is our youth? Where is our mighty ones? Where is the arrows? Come on, can you hear me this morning? And you see, we're missing something if we don't have these arrows. Let me tell you something. Satan, and no more than I try to give him grace, probably in most cases is more aware of what God's doing than most of the church is. Now, I know he couldn't find Jesus. Amen. You understand? How many know he'd have killed him if he could have found him? Now, he ain't as bright as we think he is. Because he could not go straight to the blessed Lord and kill him. Because he could not find him. But he sought for him.
Hallelujah.
But he is more aware. And he ain't waited till this morning to launch some attack. He's already invaded the camp.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, praise God. Well, the scripture says here, verse 5, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And I tell you what I want to see God do with our children. Raise them up to be these mighty arrows in the hand of strong men. Stand in the gate and converse with the enemy and put him under their feet. Come on, hallelujah, praise God. I'm telling you, amen. Now, God's moving. And there's a move of God in the land today that is countering the attack of the enemy. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to know we're not down. You understand what I'm saying? Well, I'm just saying that for, and not for this group, this deliverance ministry here. I don't know of anything you let get by. Amen. But I'm just saying this is somewhat new to me. Amen. But I know in the areas that I have been and minister, and the areas of my surroundings, for the most part, there is ignorance among God's people of what's going on.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, praise the Lord. Hey.
Hallelujah.
They don't care. They're passive. They're uninterested.
That's the word, brother. Hallelujah.
They don't care. Well, somebody cares. Somebody has felt the heartbeat of God for our generation.
Hallelujah.
And there was a large invasion right after World War II.
Hallelujah.
Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, back over here to Exodus real quick with me. And I read from verse 8 and 9, Exodus 1. Now there arose a new king over Egypt, or there arose another Pharaoh, or king. Amen. Praise the Lord. A lord. Amen. Of the heathen. Even though God spoke to Abraham over 400 years ago and told him, amen, that you're going to be a sojourner and a stranger in a land that is not yours. And you shall be afflicted in that land. How many know Israel was afflicted in the land of Egypt? Well, there arose a new king over Egypt which knew not Joseph. He said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also under our enemies and fight against us. and so get them up out of the land. This Lord of the heathen, this Pharaoh, this king feels, amen, threatened. And his intent here, amen, is not to let this nation multiply. Oh, hallelujah. Let me tell you something. There is not another people like God's people. I don't care who it is. Amen. Hallelujah. And I want you to know, I don't know about the nation of America being one nation under God, but I want you to know there's a nation in the church that is one nation unto God. And you're glad to be a part of that nation. You are a holy nation unto God. Now the intent of this Lord, I pick up here in verse 15. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Sidra, and the name of the other Pua. And he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called the midwives and said unto them, why have ye done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dwelt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all of his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. This Lord, this Pharaoh, his intent, hallelujah, was not to allow this nation to multiply. His intent was to destroy every male baby of reproduction. And they would take the girls, and they'd make whores out of them, and they'd sell them for prostitutes, and they would abuse them, and they'd make slaves out of them. Amen. He wanted to keep the girls, but you, every son that is born, destroy him. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Then if we'll go over here to the book of Matthew chapter 2, we find another Lord by the name of Herod. I want you to know there's lords in the land today. How many know there was 5 lords of the Philistines and so forth and so on? We don't have time to develop all of this area. But how many believe there are some lords in the land today? But how many glad Jesus is the Lord of lords?
Amen.
And he is the King of kings.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 2. I read from verse 7. Verse 8. Then Herod, when he heard privately, called the wise men and inquired of them diligently the time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. When ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. How many know he didn't want to worship him? He wanted to kill him. Verse 11, and when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream, they should not return to Herod. Why? Because he's the Lord of the heathen. And his desire was to destroy this principal plant. So they departed into their country, into their own country another way. When they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother. Can't you see what God's doing? Right in the midst of an attack of an enemy and the launch of an enemy and an invasion, God's moving. Hallelujah. Don't you despair this morning because I've said what I've said. I want you to know God's moving in the midst of all this. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I want you to understand that. We're not lost and we're not bleeding. Amen. We're not in despair. I want you to know at the same time the enemy, amen, has attempted his ability, amen, to destroy. I want you to know God's moving. And he's moving within a people. Hallelujah. Whether he moves through prophecy, whether he moves through the Logos word, the Rhema word, whether he moves through a dream or vision, whether he moves through the governments in the church or the helps in the church or whatever God, ever how God does it, he's doing it. The Bible says in verse 13, flee into Egypt and thou shalt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently required of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying that in Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children. Brother Jack was into this last night with Lee and Rachel. And Rachel had two sons, Joseph and Benjamin, which was the choice of God. She represents, now hear me, Rachel represents the move of God. I mean, she's no whore. She's not connected in no way with the harlot system. You understand what I'm saying this morning? Rachel represents, amen, the church that is moving with God. And in her, the prophet describes and says that Rachel weeping for her children would not be comforted because they are not. Rachel refuses to be comforted. Oh, hallelujah. Let me tell you something. It's time. The prophet prophesied and says, woe be unto them that are at ease in Zion. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silent, till he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. I want you to catch hold of this morning. I hope God brings every one of us to the place that we refuse to be comforted.
Amen.
And I hope God makes us so uncomfortable we can't stand it. Because right in the midst of the move of God, Rachel, which is a type of the glorious church, Benjamin producing the sons of God, Joseph, which produces the posterity of God in the earth, you hearing me? His mama is weeping and will not be comforted because of the lamentation, because of the butchering and the slaughter of her children. Woo! And I'm telling you, God, by the Holy Ghost, is doing something this hour like never before. He's restoring and he's returning the hearts of the father to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers so that this land will no longer be cursed. Man, there's been too many generations in the land where children just has not felt the love from their parents. Hallelujah. How many know there's such a rebellion in the land today?
Amen.
In these areas that I'm talking about. Hallelujah. That God will and that God is doing something about it. Let me give you, if I can, and I need to do this and of course I did this. This took months at home to do. But when the Lord began to share this and speak this to my heart, I realized right off that I wasn't to blame, or nobody in our church was to blame. Now, of course, somebody says, well, who do we blame? Well, I want to be careful there, not blame nobody, but just God help us to repent. Amen. And let's look at this thing and let's re-examine this thing from the Scriptures. And let's look at some history. And from here on, let's fix, let's correct, and let's renew, and let's get with everything that is of necessity in this hour. I've got five or six things. Don't let this scare you, because I'm just going to read a line or two here, okay? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I mean, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I mean, this, believe me, this took me a lot of time, but I won't take all that time out on you, all right? Amen. Hallelujah. I want to take us back to the 60s. Actually take us back from World War II. Actually take us back to World War II I'll try to, you know, show us some of this. How many remember the Ed Sullivan Show? Yeah, so I'm far enough here. I titled this The Year of the Beatles. I remember the Beatles. Praise the Lord. So you see, some of y'all don't remember the Beatles. Thank the Lord. But something worse than the Beatles. You see, everything reproduces. And in Satan and in the evil world, everything that reproduces itself will be worse. You see. And for 30 years, Satan has launched his attack and strengthened himself every year or in every order. Hallelujah. Well, the year of the Beatles. George Harris, John Lennon, Paul McCartney, Ringo Starr. They called themselves the Beatles in 1960. Remember watching that? I remember it when they come on Ed Sullivan Show. And to my knowledge, that's the first time I ever saw women in public drool and lust and crave and climb the platform. Well, praise the Lord. That was a release of something. In America, 30 years ago, that has not stopped until somebody stops it. Hallelujah. History says it did not gain nationwide fame until 1962. Their first compositions were simply love songs, but by the late 60s, they changed their chords. Chords of music changed to more complex. The lyrics were more imaginative. Come on, casting down imaginations. And every high thing, bringing everything to the obedience of Christ. And other weapons of a warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. They were more imaginative and meaningful. History says Lennon and McCartney composed several songs of social criticism. Hallelujah. That's enough on them. I just want to establish and show you. And I tell you why we talk about rock. We talk about, you know, acid rock and whatever else. I don't know what all they talk about today. I don't know. But I'll tell you, the psalmist would feel out of place. Can I get an amen? I mean, the psalmist. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And I know some of these things I'm saying, I feel so unqualified among these deliverance preachers, but I'm just sharing with you what the Lord has just shared with me. And my message isn't just in these areas. I'm just trying to show you a launch of an attack and how it has been building and how the church hasn't caught it. And there's five or six things here that was launched in the 60s that we're suffering from today. I'm not talking about third world country. I'm talking about us, America. The year of women's liberation. And this is where he got us. Because here's where he takes the woman out of the home. Rachel's still crying today for her children because now they're raised in daycare nurseries and centers. The world's educating them. And that's why Rachel's refused to be comforted. I took a poll in our church several weeks ago, and there was 11 children that raised their hands. And here's the question I ask. How many of you children here this morning believe that it has always been a way of life for a child daycare? And I had 11 children raise their hands. that they believed that that's the way it's always been through history, because that's all they've ever known. I'm saying something. Can you hear me? I'm not being mean. I'm just trying to lay some truth out here to us this morning. Paul said for the younger women to marry, bear children, guide the house. That's principle.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen. That's the book. Now, how many know Satan has succeeded in dividing the home and the family? And he just didn't do it yesterday. He began through women's liberation to do it. And what kicked it off, as far as I'm concerned, with our country was the Beatles. How many know music brings out everything from you and to you? How many know when an evil spirit troubles Saul, David could play the harp, and that evil spirit would leave. But you can get into another chord and you can invite them in. And our country was turned into a Holocaust. And that's where we are. Why I would have to stop my ears at home and to talk to the parents and to almost chastise the parents. You're talking about people leaving the church and, amen, they walk around singing Michael Jackson and talking about Boy George and all of these figures. You, amen, I'm talking about Holy Ghost families. Are you hearing me this morning? And it all progressed and it all staged itself over a period of time in this country. And now we've got several generations that's been raised today that just don't know no better. And there ain't too many that cares to tell them any better. And the church is sick. Rachel will not be comforted because of her children. Because there are lords in the land today. There are Herods, there are Pharaohs that is trying to do away with this 42nd generation, this seed of God. It is time that we neither give place to the devil no more and arm ourselves with the whole armor of God. How many grandparents are here this morning? How many parents are here this morning that you have a burden for your grandchildren and your children? Or you know somebody that's going through hell with somebody else's children or something? Nobody has the answers today but God. Nobody has the answers today but a core and a remnant in the church. Hallelujah. I want you to know these children is the heritage of God, and blessed is the fruit of the womb. And blessed is the man that has his quiver full of them. I'm just trying to express to you the side of God, not the side of our society. Because Satan said, play that side down. Play it down. Pour some water on it. Cool it off. Anybody outside of God in this hour, you're in serious trouble. And everything that you've got and everything that is connected to you that is outside of God is threatened in this hour as never before. I'll tell you, we better start fearing God and let the angels of the Lord encamp round about them that fear Him. Hallelujah. Because we are in revival and God is restoring. I was in youth camp 2 weeks ago and there was over 400 young people present. And over 70 was baptized in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Glory! 7 from our church. From 5 years old and up. Hallelujah. Baptized in the Holy Ghost. We've been in revival with our young people for over one solid year. Continue revival. Not a slow month. Not 6 weeks good. But a whole year. Hallelujah. God has so privileged and blessed us with revival. Hallelujah. And I'm teaching them how to be good stewards in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. We're training them, Brother Glenn. We're teaching them that you are a bright arrow in the hands of the mighty God. Hallelujah. Teaching them how to be stewards. I said, well, bless God, children, you know, they're for the church for tomorrow. Brother, they're the mighty arrows right now. I got every one of them. Took them an ice tray apiece. Just teaching them basic principles. Little youngins, K come into church with a cooler in their hand every Sunday, with an ice bag. All these special services we have and retreats we have, I told them, listen, young people, listen to me. We ain't buying no ice this summer. I don't care how cheap it gets. This is a principle I'm teaching them. I said, Mom and Dad, leave them alone. This is between them and God. I told every one of them, I said, you go to town if you ain't got an ice. I said, don't use no automatic ice maker. Everybody, go get you an ice tray. And be faithful over it every week. That means you can dump it 5 times a day or 1 time a day or 15 times a day. So it just depends on your heart. Teaching them how to be stewards in God. And blesses my heart to see them come in every Sunday morning with coolers. Headed to the ice chest. You don't know what that means to me. So I said, "Man, that's silly. That's the most foolish thing I ever heard. Let me tell you something. You got to start somewhere and give them a practical example of what to do. And let me tell you something. Let me tell you what we ain't done. We ain't run out of ice all summer. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I'm telling you, brother! Woo! Hallelujah! It's working! It's working! One tray apiece! You can dump it 5 times a day or 1 time. Just whatever you purpose in your heart, but do it unto the Lord. Amen. Then when all the grown-ups get here, we go out for something and have a big to-do with them. I don't have to worry about going to town and buying ice. Do we have enough?
Amen.
Come on, you save that $10. You understand what I'm saying? How many of us are supposed to be good stewards over God's money?
Amen. Right.
My parents thought I was crazy when I started this. But the youngins says, we love you, Uncle Donnie. Everybody, all the youngins in the church calls me Uncle Donnie. Uncle Donnie. Hallelujah. I love them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I'm talking about just small ones. 5 years old and up.
Hallelujah.
Now they believe in getting that ice to church.
Hallelujah.
Somebody said, what is that doing? That's building credibility, character, and integrity in a generation because we've lost it. I was teaching on these principles the other night here. I got a teaching out on the veil over our young girls. Put a book out on it. They just took it off the tape. Let me tell you something. There ain't too much on a young girl that's veiled anymore. I went into the scriptures and I taught, especially of our teenage girls. And I taught them what the Bible teaches about virginity.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And to be a veiled individual. I come back and taught 3 takes to our young boys, especially our teenage boys, on credibility, character, and integrity. I'm out to save them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God's laid them on my heart for 3 years. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it took 2 years to get our group back. I'm talking about every week. It took 2 years. Our young people was in such trouble that it took 2 years of constant devotion to them. And up to this day, there's still some parents in our church that could care less. It hasn't caught the vision. And by that I say, everything that's outside of God is in trouble. Hallelujah. Women's liberation. Let me read this. I got this out of the history books at the library. You can search it out, and not that I would think anybody would oppose. I mean, this is just documented history. I mean, it's that's all it is. 1966, we come to the National Organization for Women, what it's called now, NOW. It's updated Women's Liberation. It says, National Organization for Women is a civil rights group that fights sexual discrimination in all areas of society. It has about 200,000 members, NOW citizens. NOW criticizes educational policies that it feels discourage women from entering male professions as law, medicine. NOW fights the end of job discrimination against women. NOW also calls for better child care facilities that would free mothers for a career outside of the home if they choose. NOW feels that men and women should be equal partners in society and share all responsibility of citizenship and family life. NOW was founded in 1966 by Betty Friedman, an American author, and 30 other leading men and women. She first gained fame from her book, The Feminine Mystique. In 1963, in this book, she protested that society puts pressure on women to be housewives only and not to seek a career. She also led a nationwide protest called the Women's Strike for Equality on August 26, 1970. What Satan done through this move was to get the woman out of the house, from guiding the house. Now, you know and I know by now he succeeded. But he didn't stop there, because his intent was to get to the very last seed of this generation, and that's the children. You hear me? As far as I'm concerned, he's not even working with the mothers no more as far as getting them out. I mean, that's been done too many years ago. Now, you know, I don't have time to balance all this like in the necessities. Don't make me dot every I and cross every T in this, because how many know we got divorced women today? We got that has families and children, and they're, you know, they have, you know, how many of them in a position where they have, how many, only God can just work all this mess out. You understand what I'm saying? And in every situation is unique in itself, and whether it's an advantage or disadvantage. You know, we're just, how many know, this is Heartbreak Ridge. But there's a groaning creation that needs to be loosed. But I'm just taking time to share with you this morning some of the hows this thing's happened. That it didn't happen yesterday. And none of you can be blamed in ignorance or not knowing. But how many know we will be held accountable for what we do know from now on?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I mean, I just know. I mean, the land is plagued with what I'm talking about this morning. Then I bring us, we've got the New Age movement. The New Age movement is an international social movement that emerged in the Western society in the late 1960s. Evolution was presented in 1809, but received widespread consideration in 1858 by Charles Darwin. The theory of evolution states that all organisms come from one base life form. Evolution is a theory. When a theory is supported by evidence, it becomes accepted as a scientific fact. In the United States, there was much controversy on whether it should be taught in public schools. In the 1920s, some states passed laws that banned teaching in this in public schools. 1925, John T. Scopes, a Tennessee high school teacher, was convicted in the famous monkey trial. He was teaching Darwin's theory, claiming we came from monkeys. The trial was later overturned, but because of this trial, few public schools included evolution for many years. In 1968, the 60s, the Supreme Court of the United States ruled that laws banning the teaching of evolution were unconstitutional. 68, 60s. The gay movement. Listen to this. 1961, Illinois became the first U.S. state to abolish its laws against homosexual acts. In the 1960s, homosexual groups called the Gay Liberation Group urged society to adopt more tolerant attitudes. 1961. That's all I'm showing you. Humanism gives no date on it. We're teaching this in our public schools, small schools, colleges, high schools. Humanism is a way of looking at our world which emphasizes the importance of human beings, their nature, and their places in the universe. People are the center of this study, not God. Humanists reject the view of the sinful nature of humanity. What they're saying is anything goes. Do what you want. Can I tell you who this is being taught to? Not our mothers in the working world, but it's got to the children. Can I tell you when all this started, the buck of everything that I'm teaching started this morning? He invaded America with this sloth and heresy and lies and this satanic oppression and possession in the 60s. Hallelujah. And we're suffering today because of it. Hallelujah. How many know we're not to be ignorant of his devices? How many know what a counterattack is? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, he crippled our country with music. He crippled our country in the flesh realm with humanism. Hallelujah. He's crippled our children by letting the world raise them. I taught this at church, and I had a lady went home, and she sat down and she did an order of 52 weeks out the year. And she broke it up. I wish I had it with me. And she broke it up into hours, days, and weeks. And she come to church that night, and she wept in the pulpit as she shared it with the church. She got two children. She got a 5-year-old girl and an 11-year-old boy. And she works. And out of 52 weeks, and she broke it down from the time they go to school, the time they sleep, the time they play, to whatever. She broke it all down. And out of 52 weeks in a year, she was startled to find out that out of 52 weeks in a year, she only spent 11 weeks a year of quality time with her two children. Hallelujah. And we wonder why they're in the shape they're in. Are you listening to me? Can you relate to what I'm saying? That means either Babylon's got them or either Egypt has got them the rest of the time. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's not even a fourth of the year. And we can't figure out what's wrong with them. Or the church world can't put their finger on what's happening. How many here this morning know what's happening? How many here this morning have been aware of what has been happening? Thank God that there's a remnant and a group of people that's in the land today that knows not only what the enemy's doing, but they know what God's doing. And that will rise up and take dominion and authority in this hour. Amen? The same thing that's happening, the same thing that happened with Israel and Egypt, the same thing that was happening with the children with Herod, is the same thing that is happening with us today. Hallelujah. Amen. And it is because of lords of the heathen. Their attempt has been to absolutely wipe out, destroy. The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, I've come that you might have life, and that you might have life more abundantly. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, have you got a hold of that? Would you give me just another minute or two just to dovetail this? If I could just give us a scripture or two in Proverbs 22. Hallelujah. In Proverbs chapter 22. Hallelujah. I read here from verse 28. He says, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Hallelujah. And then in chapter 23, I read verse 10. Remove not the old landmark, neither enter into the fields of the fatherless. Now, I certainly don't have time to get into this area. But let me say this as kind as I can. Turn on over here with me. Let me share this with you. In Proverbs chapter 31, let me say this before I go any further too. I certainly would grieve my spirit to think that any lady here today would think that I have been rude, you know, about anything. It's not my intent. Praise the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? In Proverbs 31, verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. 53 times from verse 10 to the remaining part of that chapter, that is from verse 10 to 31, 53 times she is mentioned. How many know the theme of this subject is her? Amen. You understand what I'm saying? Now, the landmarks and the pattern of God, and when Paul was stating in the book of Timothy, how many know Paul being from the tribe of Benjamin, and knowing the nationality of the nation, when he referred back to women, he was not putting the women down. He was coming back from his heritage and showing them how in all history the role... How many know when Jacob met Rachel, what she was doing? She was toting water. Hello. You study the scriptures, you'll find the women worked in the fields. What did Ruth say? Let me go glean in the fields behind the reapers. And when she got there, she found herself among other maidens. She-males. And you know what the girls was doing? They was reaping in the fields. To be plain with you, every woman except she was a princess or a queen, she was a workhorse. Well, amen. I mean, you can study it and see. I mean, but it's there. Amen. And when Jacob... How do you know that when Eliezer, Abraham's oldest servant, went to get a wife for Isaac, and he finds Rebekah, he said, Lord, the damsel, if this be thou, Lord... I'm paraphrasing now, but if it be thou, Lord, if anyone comes that shall be a candidate for me to take back home to my master for his son, let her, when she gets here, offer to water these 10 camels. Hello? 10 camels! And I ain't talking about this kind. Hallelujah! I'm talking about 10 thirsty animals. With one pitcher of water that she totes on her head. And I'm telling you, when he gets there, I want you to know the first words that comes out of her mouth, woo, hallelujah, is get thee down and let me water thee and let me water thy camels. Amen. What? My God. That's what they used to. That's why Solomon says, who can find a virtuous woman? And he mentions her 53 times. And if you study that context of Scripture, she is constantly doing. In fact, she is over a goat herd. Hallelujah. Well, amen. Look at verse 16 of Proverbs. I'm sharing this with you now. Now, somebody says, why are you doing this? Because you get this kind of woman that's been raised this way in the house. You get this kind of a woman, been bred and raised this way in the house, you ain't going to have no trouble. Woo! Glory! That's where the Apostle Paul was coming from. Woo! Hallelujah. I figured a man would shout and hear besides me. Now, ladies, have you understand I ain't being hard? I'm being truthful. I'm giving you principle. That's all I'm going to do. I'm going to give you the book. I'm just going to give you principle. And I'm safe and sound in this area. This is book. Amen. You can search it out. It's there. It's there. I mean, I'm standing here imagining all kinds of things. I got poor one old girl in our church. Bless her heart. I love her. She knows I love her. She got 2 children. And she's constantly hollering at them. I said, oh, God, if you just learn just to do what you need to do, it'd save all that screaming and hollering. They don't no more believe her Let me tell you something. A virtuous woman can holler at a goat. And you know how hard a goat is. Hard-headed a goat is. And I'll give you a scripture here if you don't believe what I'm saying. I'll give you the book. Proverbs 31, verse 16. Look what it says. She, this virtuous woman, considereth a field and buyeth it, and with the fruit of her hand she planteth the vineyard. How about that? Sound to me like she can really guide here, don't it? Now, let me give you a scripture on how she buys this field with. Proverbs 27, 26.
Hallelujah.
Proverbs 27, verse 26. The lambs are for thy clothing, and the goats are the price of the field.
Amen.
Is that what the book says? The book says, the lambs are for thy clothing, and the goats are the price of the field. Now, what does she do? She considers a field. She's going to plant a garden. And she needs a place to plant it for her family. So what does she do? She goes straight to the goat herd and looks at one. Who does this? She does it.
Amen.
Well, amen. Now, here, she knows the goat market. And now she knows acreage. And she walks around. She might pass up five or six goats until she finds the one that says, now, this is a fair price, and I ain't giving him a nary more quality goat than this one for that field. So she gets ready to go plant a garden. She's going to go bargain. And she's going to bargain for a parcel of ground with a goat. And her intent is to plow it and plant it for her family. That's the book.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Now you get this kind of woman. And I'm not talking about a slave driver. Now you, how many women love me? I mean, I might be asking that in faith by now, but I'm not being mean. I'm giving you principle. That the intent of Satan in the early 60s through women's liberation was to get her out of the house and break her down. And if he can break her down, he can get to her children. That's what I'm showing you. But you show me this kind of a woman, and I'm showing you a woman that are black as eye. I'm showing you a woman that'll plumb wear him out. I'm talking about a people in God this morning, amen, that has the goods.
Hallelujah.
This is what Paul was talking about. He began to teach some of these principles that he taught. He knew. I'll tell you, I've been in Mexico for probably going on 15 years now, in and out, helping Brother Bill Smith do some missionary work for many years. And it just fascinates me when I go in to see the sincerity that's in this people's heart. And they know no different. I even hate to bring them to America. We just spoil the daylights out of them. Hallelujah. You understand? Oh, praise the Lord. Let me give you this scripture in closing here, and here in 1 Timothy, if you'll. And I'll close right here. I'm closing right here. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 5, and just let me, and I'll give you the scripture here in verse 14. Hallelujah. Paul says, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house. This word in the Greek, now listen to this in the Greek, means to be the head of, to rule a family, rule the household, be the management and direction of the household affairs. I mean, that's a good job. You're important. Now, we know the old cliche of the obnoxious man, who's got a hen. You understand? That's not what I'm talking about. I got this thing centered in God. I'm looking at this thing from the virtues of the book this morning. Not from some male chauvinistic spirit disposition. You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about quality this morning. Okay? Quality this morning is what I'm talking about. You couldn't have a greater, more important job than right here. Hallelujah. And we would believe a lie and be damned rather than to believe the truth of God. Hallelujah. I close with this. Amen. And, someone said to me, we built this new building, and It'd be a popular thing in our area. I don't even know if they do that in Arkansas. I don't know. But at home, you know, daycares and nurseries are so popular in our area. It may not be in no other parts of the country. I don't know. But we got this great big building now and everything. And I said, well, boy, we could open up a daycare and just float this whole thing, you know. And I said, never. Never will I be the author of anything that takes the responsibility away from the home to give a free license for husbands and wives to do their own thing. I just won't do it. I just wouldn't. I would never do it. There's principles here. You understand? There's principles. That's all I've done. I've tried to teach you principles. We get back to the principles of God. This is where I was at tonight. We get back to the principles. God will work. The enemy will have to flee. Because God can't lie. He swore, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by his own self. Now, you just can't get no more stronger than that. He looked down at Glenn Miller. He looked at Donnie Marsh. He looked at Jack Harris. He looked at Bill Goodson. He says, I can't swear by them boys.
Amen.
I can't swear by Abraham. He couldn't trust us because of the humanity in us. And as hard as we try to be good stewards of God, you understand, God, because God could swear by no greater. You hear me? He made an oath, and he swore by his own self. Hallelujah. That it is impossible for God to lie. Let me tell you something. God is going to do what God has done said he's going to do. And if he don't do it through me and you, he's still going to do it. I sure do want to be a part of letting him do what he's going to do through me and through you and I in this generation. Amen. Let God be true and every man a liar. I'm telling you, if I fall short, it's because I'm a liar. Can you understand that? If I fall short, if I lose out, and if I fail to do what God's called me to do, it's because I was a liar. God is true. Hallelujah. I'm going to close here. Brother Glenn, amen. I turn the service back to you. Could you lift your hand right now and just ask the Lord to, amen, to help us this morning. Praise God. Amen. This is, I don't know how you'd grade this, but it's just, amen, from a heart to us this morning, in the name of Jesus. Let the Lord stir in your heart right now. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. Amen. For your word today, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Donnie said that he brought the statistics of this in the 60s. But it started back in the early 1900s. It started back when the outpouring of Pentecost, Satan started to do his work. Then a lot of rain came along, and he was working hard then. And then the charismatic movement came along, and he was working harder. And Ezekiel chapter 34 says, the whole from verse 7 on, but I'm not going to read all of it, but I am going to read this. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. It started with the shepherds in the early 1900s. As I live, saith the Lord, as I live, saith the Lord God, surely, because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. And then it goes on to talk about the shepherds. But in the early 1900s on up through till today, the shepherds have failed the sheep. And what Brother Donnie was talking about, that he spent time to teach his young people, I never heard a pastor or an evangelist or a preacher teach on, or a Sunday school superintendent or a teacher teach on Leviticus chapter 18 and 20 and Deuteronomy 27 in my life until I heard it come out of my mouth. And I heard it come out of my mouth in Tulsa, Oklahoma, teaching to a group of ORU students. The first time I ever heard it, it came out of my mouth, and I really didn't know what I was doing, except I felt to do it. And that's the first time, and if those principles that are in those chapters have been laid out to the children of the so-called household of faith, we wouldn't have in America today what we've got. The shepherds failed the flock. Because tradition said that's Old Testament, we don't live by Old Testament. And they used that as the excuse not to teach it. And therefore, we've got what we've got today. And Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 25, or chapter 27, verse 25 says that cursed be he who sheds innocent blood or takes a wage to shed innocent blood. And we've got the doctors and the nurses and all of them who are cursed, and everybody involved with it, cursed in America because they've taken a wage to shed innocent blood. And then God goes further to say that innocent blood has to be accounted for, that the innocent blood cries out unto him, and it has to be accounted for. So God's judgments are in the land. But I thank God that there's a people arising in the land that see the truth, and just like Donnie and others that are beginning to come, and we teach it here to all those that come, and I stand and say to the ministers and to you who go home, you need to go home and tell your pastor to get up and teach it from the pulpit. They're hearing it at school, and even before they go to school. Why can't the pastor and the Sunday school teacher and the Sunday school superintendent teach it to them in where it should be taught? And the mother and father the same. I was brought up in Pentecost since I was born, but I never heard anybody teach on these things in my life. It must be taught. It must be. It's our obligation today to teach it. And if we have failed too long. But now we've got to catch up. We've got to catch up, and it's a hard job to do. Well, Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, that you're giving us wisdom and discernment and understanding and pricking our hearts so that we can do that which you would have done today.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.